You're listening to R.O.D. coming at you live.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. R.O.D. flip the track right now.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Monday evening here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, broadcasting from Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Network Studios high above Camelback Road. And joining me tonight is a man who happens to be the fourth member of an oddly unique group of people, that group being those who have been on this show and that also front tribute bands. Ken Runk spends a lot of time keeping classic rock alive with his band, The Bad Company Experience, and he'll be here on the show right after I take this opportunity to play one of my favorite classic rock songs from a band called Free with a tune called All Right Now.
What's your game? Are you trying to put me in shame?
listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And that was All Right Now from Free here on the Otto D Show, which is brought to you by Trattoria Di Amico in Ahwatukee, an authentic Italian restaurant where you'll often find me right after the show. They're on the north side of Warner Road, just west of I-10. So stop in and tell them that Otto sent you. And with that, let me welcome to the show singer/actor Ken Ronk. Ken, how are you doing?
Great.
Man, I'm glad to have you up.
Glad to be here, Otto.
You've been doing music for a long, long time. So there's lots of stories. And your bio is longer than our show. So we'll grab some snippets. But recently, you've been acting as well.
Yes.
Doing a bit of that. But your primary thing musically is the Bad Company experience.
Yeah, the Bad Company experience, along with, as you know, band Broken Toys, which we play locally.
Okay.
And Paul Gurvitz and the New Army.
So you're in three bands currently?
Currently, yes.
You working a lot?
You know, it works out great because each one of those we try not to overexpose. The Bad Company thing we keep to, every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And the Paul Gurvitz and the New Army is more of a national thing, and Broken Toys is just kind of the crazy swing from the rafters once a month, let loose mm-hmm. band.
Cool.
So they work good together.
Yeah, well, I want to hear a little bit about each of those, and we'll have an opportunity to listen to some music from each of them. But do you also play guitar?
I do.
So, and you've played guitar in some iterations of your bands in the past, but I don't think you do in these groups. So how did you get started with music? I mean, was the guitar the first instrument you picked up?
Yeah, really it was. I was never really good at guitar.
I'm still not any good at guitar.
You know, as I started getting interested in music, a lot of my friends were just so much better on guitar than me, and I realized it's probably the smart thing to do, even though mm-hmm. I really couldn't sing. But I thought I got to find something to do, and I didn't really feel like carrying drums around.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll sing. I can just walk in with a microphone stand. And
it'll be the first one out afterwards.
There we go. Which ultimately didn't work out, because now I bring everything.
The PA.
But, later I learned to play guitar, because I used to like to write on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And... But any time I was at band rehearsal or around any of my friends, they would never let me have their guitar because they always complained I put it out of tune. So I had to play guitar on my own when no one was around.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you first played guitar?
I was probably 15 when I first started playing guitar.
Where did music come from? I mean, you weren't playing in a school band. You didn't play a horn before that or something.
No.
So how did music come into your life? Were your parents musical?
Yeah. My dad was a singer, and he played in a lot of country bands, played at Pinnacle Peak Patio, and did a lot of things in that nature. And we used to sneak in, and my grandma would take us to Riata Pass, and we would slip in the back, and we could watch him play. So,
which tells me you were born in this area.
I was. I was born in Phoenix.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat that you actually got to go see your dad playing in a band.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, and you could see the fun that they were having. And so, kind of got interested in it that way and exposed to a lot of that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously through high school and parties and...
And you're a big guy. Did you play sports in high school?
I played football.
Okay.
And basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I still try to play basketball.
Uh-huh.
I was never really...
I have a Danny Ainge signed ball.
Oh, is that where we should go play right now?
Yeah, I used to keep it in my trunk.
I was never really good at any of it, but
really?
It was always fun to play.
I loved playing basketball. I just lived it when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It's probably my favorite thing to play.
Yeah.
But sports, as high school went on and, as I started getting more into music, obviously parties became more prevalent.
And you became more important at a party if you played guitar, right?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. And so I realized pretty early that music and sports don't really go together very well.
Right.
Because when practice is at 6 in the morning and you're getting home at 5 from a party.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is tough. I remember, my dad didn't like me being in a band, and I had my first band when I was young, and still living at home. And I got a C in school in some class. And so he thought, I've got it now. You know, so he calls me into the living room one night. You know, well, you know, obviously you're doing too much because you pulled a C, you know.
Your music, you failure.
And since you're on the basketball team and you're in this band, I think we both understand that one of them has to go. And I said, okay. And that's all I said. And I didn't say anything else. Pretty soon he's getting a little worried. He's like, so we both know which one it is, right?
So what is it, Otto? What is it?
Yeah. And I said, well, I have to quit the basketball team because, I mean, they don't care if I quit the team. And yeah. My band, we got contracts, like maybe one signed to play a grade school or something.
So from then on, history was
he
made.
Was like, fine, you can stay on the team. Because he didn't think I was doing too much. He just wanted to try to get me out of that thing, you know.
That thing.
Music.
And parents called it a thing.
And I think it's a worthwhile endeavor sometimes for parents to be worried about their kid going into a rock band. But on the other hand, it's wonderful when they can support that. And I think your dad, being a musician, he probably really supported your move into music.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think he realized that I was doing it for quite a while, really. And then, he's always been supportive of it. You know, my parents always have, but my grades really were never any good, regardless of what I was doing.
Whether you're a band or not.
So,
I mean, hopefully he'll find something to do with his life.
Yeah, at least he's got something to concentrate on.
That'll keep him out of trouble.
So luckily my friends were at school, so they knew, at least he'll go to school if that's where his friends are. So.
Right. Interesting. But, so what were your first gigs in your first band? I mean, did you play local parties for beer money, or what did you guys, how'd you start?
Local things, a lot of desert parties, you know, back when I was getting into music.
Describe a desert party, because it sounds to me like guitar party.
I'll describe some.
Where's the electric coming from?
The parts that we can explain on the radio, explain. But, you know, really, a lot of friends. You'd go steal crates from behind the grocery stores and out to the desert with sometimes a gigantic bonfire. And
sometimes a generator. I mean, did you ever bring electric and play out there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Generator, acoustics, and, at least till we ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. And then somebody's car would be missing gas, and then we could play on longer, you know. But, that was really some of the first ways to do it.
Uh-huh. And then that first band, you were a guitar player in.
No, well, I tried to be, but they wouldn't let me.
Okay.
They realized really quick that probably was not the thing for me. And, you know, the first group I was in, which ultimately turned into Crystal Vision, had two great guitar players in it. So there was really no room for me to play.
Or no need, really.
Or no need. Yeah, absolutely. So the first get-together actually was in the living room of our mutual friend, Stephen Christian, was in his parents' living room with a guy, Greg Owsley, on guitar, and Tim Merrill later joined on guitar. And I was just giving Greg a ride.
Yeah?
I was a little too shy to even think of singing, so when we got over there, we had an extra guitar amp over there, so I plugged a microphone into the guitar amp. And it kind of had a bit of distortion, which I always thought sounded cool on my voice. So that was our first PA, was me singing through a Radio Shack microphone and a guitar amp.
Well, let me tell you a story I heard about you two and Bono, and maybe this is all wrong, because you read the story and you remember it. You can't remember where you got it, so feel free, people, text me and correct this story. But I remember reading that he answered an ad for a band that needed a guitar player. And when he got there, they said, oh, no, we got a guitar player. We just don't have a singer. And he'd never sung. And so he said, well, I'll sing.
I'll do that.
So in a sense, if that's true, you guys had a very similar launch.
You know, it could be. Yeah. But, you know, he sure doesn't sound like he doesn't know what he's doing. I know. He's always been one of those voices, you know, where there's guys out there and you hear him sing and instantly knew who they are. And, you know, Bono was one of those for sure. Very distinct.
Yeah, absolutely. And working as a tribute artist, it's a bit different than doing your Crystal Vision band.
Yeah.
Was Crystal Vision doing any original material?
We were doing all original.
All original material.
You know, Crystal Vision was together through probably the late 90s. I suppose we did a few covers, but it was mostly all original. We did three LPs and played with some national bands and shopped around for a deal a bit. And it was kind of a heavier band. It was, it was quite a bit heavier. I don't know, maybe Iron Maiden meets something.
It was long haired.
It was long hair.
I
it
saw
was
the
loud.
Pictures, torn up t-shirts. Yeah.
I thought I got rid of all those pictures.
We were in
maybe
some of
you
those
found
bands.
One. That's right.
Well, I think what I found, and I'd like to play for you, is a cut. And the tune is called Soul Searching.
Yeah.
And it's a YouTube video, and in the video were a bunch of just still photographs for the video. Yeah, you know?
Bunch of long-haired guys.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, look at that. Ken's one of those guys. Wonder which one.
Yeah, don't tell anyone which one.
So I'd like to play this track. Tell me a little bit about this. Did it come out on one of your LPs?
Yeah, this is on, which one is it?
Soul Searching.
Soul Searching. Soul Searching is on, I believe, the second... on the second LP.
So about what year was that?
Probably about 90, I'm going to say about 92-ish, somewhere in there.
Now, you're calling it an LP. So did you do a vinyl version of the record, or was it just a CD as it came out?
No, I suppose it was cassettes then. We were right on the backside of actual vinyl. So it was right there with cassette tapes.
Cool.
And they'd get stuck in your car player, and you'd take them apart and stick them back together again.
Oh, man.
Miss half the song, you remember.
I know. Gosh, I remember that. Yeah. And then in this track, are you playing on it at all?
No, just all vocals.
Okay.
Crystal Vision was something I never played. I played tambourine, harmonica, and sang. Never put down any guitar at all in that band.
So here's Early Ken with Crystal Vision.
Early Ken.
Soul Searching. Check it out.
Listening to Auto D coming at you live.
And that amazing fade out was from a track called Soul Searching by Crystal Vision with Ken Runk here on the Otto D Show. Yeah, I'm watching the counter go down on the song going, we got 10 seconds. Hey, it's not fading out. Oh, yeah, I didn't. Whoops.
I can fade it out.
Yeah, real quick.
I'm a producer.
But, you know, it's interesting. You can really tell. Yeah, I could have faded it out. Instead, I just subject everybody to a hard ending.
Oh, they didn't mind.
That you can, like you were saying while it was playing, it marks the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The production style. And you mentioned you did this in a home studio even back then.
We did this in a home studio.
Like on a 4-track or an 8-track, probably an 8-track or something.
Yeah, it was actually digital tape and mixed down on 2-inch.
Okay.
And it was in a friend of ours by the name of John Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in his living room. A lot of it live. A lot of it very overdone, and really some of it never mixed down. There's a lot of effects that never really got mixed down properly. But
okay,
and then we lost John a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And now in between Crystal Vision and Broken Toys, which was your next original band, I guess, you had some time off.
Lots.
So what happened?
Well, I met Christy, the love of my life.
And she said, I don't date musicians.
And she, yeah, she's...
I had a buddy who did that.
She said lots of stuff, but...
Okay.
And in all fairness to her, she really probably... she probably saved a interesting what would have been. So she really kind of was that slap in the face. And, you know, it was right on the tail end of Crystal Vision. And so, you know, we... are still together today, and I sometimes am not real sure what that is, because she's such the perfect person, and I don't know, I guess just a good match for me.
Yeah.
So we had beautiful girls, and...
So now you're
And
dad,
she loves rock and roll, and she loves... She's very supportive, so...
Right.
I'm a lucky guy.
You are. So, so after this period of time, you're raising a family, and then you end up getting back into another band. So this is about 10 years ago, I think?
Yeah, there was a gap, you know, as you get in any traveling and stuff like that, and you get on the road with guys, and you all scrunch in a van, and you starve, and you're broke, and you do that for a while, and you pass, you know, like this time of year, and Christmas lights, and people in there playing, and you're driving down the road with a bunch of other stinky, sick guys. You know, you realize this isn't working out so great. And
oh my goodness.
But they were all great friends, and we're all still great friends from back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, you know, it was kind of music burnout for a little while. And Christy and I got married, and we were doing a lot of, you know, a lot of outdoor stuff and a lot of, you know, we were very feather in the wind. We would just do anything at any given moment. So
What were you doing? What were you doing for work? What was your business at the time?
At the time, I was doing mostly construction, excavation, and playing on tractors. I always loved tractors, so I was playing in the dirt on tractors.
Perfect.
And so that was really it. It was kind of music burnout for a little while. I wasn't listening to anything, really wasn't listening to the radio much. It was just kind of enjoying some downtime.
So how did Broken Toys come about?
Broken Toys came about... A friend of mine, Darren Lugar, who was one of our drummers in Crystal Vision, was going to a friend of ours, Marty Lucas, and they were going to go lay some tracks at Marty's studio. And Darren asked if I'd go with him, and so I did. And we were just kind of hanging out, and Marty asked if I'd go in, and I don't know if Marty's listening, if he's going to laugh at this. So I'd gone over, Marty wanted to get some mic checks, and I'd been... dinking around with a song I was writing, and he wanted some mic checks, so I'd gone in the studio, and he was just having me play and sing, and the only thing I could come up with was a song that I'd been writing. So
interesting.
So he was getting levels up, and I just, unbeknownst to me, he was recording this thing,
right?
And he'd recorded several he'd recorded several different layers of
right
it, which was kind of the end of that. And a few days later, he'd sent me what he recorded, and which was very interesting. But Greg, who was a guitar player in Crystal Vision, had somehow heard that, and was wondering if we were doing some stuff again. And really, it was no. Actually gone with Darren, but one thing led to another, and Greg and I had gotten back and started doing some music with some guys, and we were doing some cover stuff and writing some stuff, and that band evolved into Broken Toys, which you know, which now consists of Jeff Garten on drums, Jeff Barbary on bass, Mark Lauer on guitar, and Todd Minix on guitar. Great group of guys, very talented. It's a fun band.
And then you're in two other groups. So which came next, the relationship with Paul Gurvitz and his project, or the Bad Company project?
Really, we Broken Toys was just playing and doing festivals and stuff like that. And I got approached by a guy. Actually, A.D. Adams had sent me some stuff and asked if I'd send some things over. There was a guy whose name he didn't tell me, was looking for some vocals, and asked if I'd come over and get together with him and do some songs. So I did. And at the time, I didn't realize that it was Paul Gurvitz or what the story was. I just, you know, I love jamming.
Right.
So.
And when A.D. makes the call.
And A.D., you know, he's always fun.
Yeah.
So I went over, and we went through some songs, and that turned out to be Paul Gurvitz, who was in many things. He was in the Baker Gurvitz Army with Ginger Baker, as everyone knows, and Three Man Army, and had had some hits with The Gun. And so really that started quite a relationship that was about 5 years ago, but that came, you know, during the time that I was with Broken Toys. And so we still do that now.
Cool. And so, you know, he's an Englishman. And Bad Company was an English band.
I don't know what it is, London, but I have such a thing, I guess, for English bands, Led Zeppelin and Bad Company.
I want to get into how in the world you got connected to the Bad Company concept, how that came about. But before we do, since we were just talking about Paul and his project, I think I've got a cut here I can play that you sent me called Down by the River.
This is a live show and a live recording of a song that we do in concert.
Okay, and how old is this, do you recall?
This is recently from the last show we've done.
Okay, so you're singing, you're not playing guitar?
Nope, just singing.
And where was the show?
The show was at the Music Hall of Fame.
Okay, so this is, Down by the River. And the official band on this is the Paul Gurvitz Army?
Paul Gurvitz and the New Army.
Paul Gurvitz and the New Army, perfect.
Yes, which is, actually, we have a show in Palm Springs, January 12th.
Awesome.
And December 16th, sorry, next Saturday.
That's a little sooner than January 12th.
Yeah, I guess I should get that straight.
Well, you wouldn't want to be late, not that late.
Yeah, I'm usually late,
late. Yeah, really. So where is that show in Palm Springs? What's the venue?
That show is at Willie Boy's Barbecue.
Okay, so everybody pay attention to that, and that is Saturday,
so if you find yourself in Palm Springs, Saturday, December 16th.
Awesome, so here it is, Down by the River.
Listening to Otto D coming at you live.
And that was Paul Gurvitz and the New Army with Down by the River with lead singer Ken Rock. That's a pretty awesome track.
That guy.
And that's live.
That was live.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Tell me a little bit about that song. You mentioned that he had cut that before.
That song is actually one Paul covered with a guy by the name of Buddy Miles, covered that song, actually, which was written by Neil Young. And so it's one we redid yet again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun song.
And you've been working with Paul now for about 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 or 5 years now.
So he must have a lot of cool stories.
Paul has amazing stories, which is one of the great things that I enjoy because I grew up such a fan of the Beatles and the Who and Led Zeppelin and
all the cool music coming out of England.
Yeah, Bad Company. And so it's great to work with a guy who is friends and grew up and worked with them. So I really get to hear such great stories. And, it's so intriguing to hear them when they're coming straight from a guy
with experience.
Someone
in the room, you know.
Yeah.
Anything you
yeah.
can share?
Well, I'll tell you the funny thing. I won't share Paul's stories because he'd probably kill me. But
oh, they're his stories.
I could tell.
We'll have to get Paul over here.
If
let him
Paul's
tell
listening,
his stories.
Paul, I won't. But yeah, you'll have to get Paul in. He'd love
no
to
problem.
Tell you. However, A funny thing, when I first went, and what I didn't realize was an audition. At the time, I guess there was something running around on the internet where people were sending in audition tapes and videos and whatnot, and I was unaware of it.
And this was to be the
This was for the deal that I ended up doing.
Right.
And so one of the funny things is once I had gone and I'd done the audition, Christy and I had gone to the movies. And we were watching a movie, and Paul had sent me an email saying, hey, you know, is this something that you would like to do? Would you be interested in this? And I sent back. And at the time, I, you know, obviously I was aware of Paul Gervitz at this point, and you know, obviously a huge fan of some of his projects, and he was emailing him, and I were somewhat emailing back and forth in the parking lot just after the movie, and Christine and I had walked, we'd walked out of the movies, and I was answering emails by Paul, and Paul had mentioned, so what are you doing right now with your other projects? Are you able to do this project? Would you have the time for it?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my email responses was, well, I just got done with a movie. Let me give you a shout maybe a little later or what. And so the email that Paul sent back, well, with you being in the movies and and this, and Christy and I were laughing in the car because we realized, wait a minute, no, we just got out of the movies. We're not in the movie. We just got out of the movies. But
oh, you made it sound like you just finished a movie.
Yeah, it's
a, as
yeah,
an actor.
It's the way it sounded.
Which is a funny story as well, but we'll get into that. Go ahead.
But so you know, that project is a lot of fun. You know, especially with a guy like Paul, and George Martin produced a lot of Paul's earlier stuff. So I learned a lot. Musically and things to do there with Paul, so that's been fun.
So how did the Bad Company thing come about then? I mean, you got all this already going on.
Well,
you got a family. You're in one band now. Yeah. You're in Paul's band.
And I never wanted to be one of the guys that was in
one of those.
One of those guys. That's in, you know, every band and you know, Broken Toys were such a close group of friends and so. I never really wanted to be one of those guys that's in all the bands. And so lucky for me is that Broken Toys played where it played and how it played. And with Paul Gervitz and the New Army, we play, you know,
it's
we just did a show
thing
with REO Speedwagon not long ago with Celebrity. And so it's kind of on a different stage. So it works out good. The two don't really mix together, and I can be that guy and that guy. And so really I've, you know, the whole tribute thing for me was always, I always had a problem with it personally.
Uh-huh.
Just because I didn't have anything against tribute bands, but I guess I didn't really have the ego for, you know, I always thought, man, for a guy to think he sounds like, or think that he sounds like someone like, you know, Robert Plant or Paul Rodgers,
right,
is, you know, it's, nobody sounds like those guys. And so, you know, for someone to think that they do,
right,
either is discrediting one of them or thinks they're a lot greater than they are.
Right.
So I could just never bring myself to think that I had any business at all covering anything. So I didn't, even though I loved, you know, I loved that music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a I got a message one day from a guy named Greg, who was in the Bad Company tribute band, and at the time it was called Soul on Fire. And they'd had another singer, and they were looking for a singer to fill in for a show, and had sent a message to me, and the message was something along the lines of, hey Ken, are you familiar with Bad Company or Paul Rodgers? And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And so I sent back, yes, and yes, absolutely, you know. And he said, well, would you be interested in doing a show with us? And the show was at, actually was at a casino.
Okay.
Harris, actually. And I said, yeah, you know, send me over your stuff. And seems like the show was just weeks away. It wasn't very long. And so we got to kind of talking back and forth. And I shot him my number, said, just call me so I can, you know, I suck typing, as you know, who knows what the words come out, and so we talked on the phone there, and he said, well, I said, well, what in the world would... He said, well, you know what? We actually played with your band, Broken Toys, over at a place called the Go Ahead Saloon. And I was in a Black Crowes tribute band, and you guys did a Bad Company song. And I just, for some reason, I kind of remembered it, and that was probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And as we were sitting here, we had something had taken place with our singer, and we thought, well, what are we going to do? You know, Paul Rodgers is not standing on the corner somewhere. You know, where do you find Paul Rodgers? And I'm certainly not Paul Rodgers. But so one thing led to another, and I guess they had decided, well, that's it. We're done. You know, we don't have a Paul Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, what? You know, he said, well, unfortunately, this is not going to be very flattering to you. But I'd remembered your group doing a Bad Company, so I looked back through the gigs, and I found the show, and then I found the name of the band, and then I found your name as the singer of the band, and then I messaged you, and as I was doing that, the guys were standing around, and as we were looking at pictures, the guys are like, well, the guy kind of looks like Paul Rodgers. And I said, okay, never really thought of that. But he said, so unfortunately, we thought we'd get in touch with you, kind of because we thought you looked like, and we really don't even know if you're able to sing or not.
That's funny.
So it was kind of, it was a little non-flattering the way it came about. And but luckily, I was familiar with Paul Rodgers. And
yeah.
Nobody sounds like Paul Rodgers, including me. But, you know, for me, I take the approach of covering the song, and this song was written this year, and it's on this album. And really, I sing it from a fan of Bad Company's viewpoint, rather than a guy up there, you know, in the whole spiel, trying to convince people that I'm Paul Rodgers, because that's always been the part that bugs me, and it's very hard for most tribute bands. Because you kind of have to do that role, you know, if you're in a Zeppelin tribute or a what, you know, you have to put the wig on and dress to the left
and
tight pants and do what you do. And so you're kind of thrown in that role of giving the appearance that you think you're that person. And so I could never get around that being in a tribute. So luckily for me, if I was to be in one, being a Bad Company, I don't have to wear anything.
You look a little like the guy. Just sing the songs.
Just do what
Let
I
them
can.
Pretend yeah. you're Paul Rodgers. You don't even have to.
Well, right.
You know.
So.
Well, I think that's kind of common with a lot of different tributes when the guy looks like the guy. At least that's half of it. You know.
Yeah, you know, and I know. I guess the sun has probably gotten to me too. You know, people think I look like a 68-year-old guy, but you know, it's okay.
No, you look great. But you know, the first tribute show I went to was after I became a tribute artist. I'd never been to one because it kind of grossed me out, to the whole concept
it's
of it.
Get a little
like,
strange.
I'm not going to do that. And this guy convinced me to do it, and so I went to see one of the shows he'd put on. You know, and thought, oh, this is interesting. You know, it's like, wow, they really look like the people. You know, it was very strange. But what I took away from it was how much the audience enjoyed it, since they can't go see the guy, you know?
Right, especially being John Lennon, which is absolutely incredible. By the way, everybody, if you get a chance, make sure you go see Otto and his amazing John Lennon tribute.
Well, the first time I did one, the people freaked out so much that that's when I decided I would do it. Because I told the guy, I'll do the show. You know, we'll put it together and we'll do it. But I said, if it's... You know, I already feel like I have a big red nose, you know, ball on my nose, like a clown. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life.
Feels somewhat like Halloween.
Yeah, but I said, you know what? If it matters to people, then I'll do it. And after the show, it was really apparent that
what
it mattered to
and,
people. You know?
And you're talented, and you pull it off just perfectly.
But it's really something. And it was funny going back, you know, earlier today, I'm listening to some Bad Company that I haven't heard in a long time, and I'd forgotten how many incredible songs those guys had. And I played so much of that stuff in bands, it was really, really fun to go back and listen. In fact, I grabbed a whole bunch of tunes because I thought, "What? Do you have a favorite one?" I mean, it's kind of hard to even have a favorite one.
You know, and I've been such a fan for, you know, so long, ever since. In fact, you know, obviously Paul Rodgers is one of the reasons I ever decided to sing. I thought, God, I want to do that.
Yeah, because he's great.
you know, he just had very such bluesy, a smooth, too, soulful, bluesy
for
voice.
For a white rock guy, he's very bluesy.
Well, you know, his influences were you know, R&B, you know, mostly R&B, obviously the Beatles as well. But, you know, he had such a unique voice for what was going on at the time. And so it stood out. Yeah.
One of the happier ones.
One just of the kind happier of a, ones.
You feel free to sing along if you want, but there's a lot of screaming in
we
this
don't,
track.
We don't want people to turn off your show, Otto.
Oh, they wouldn't. They wouldn't dare. But check just a little bit of this out. So this is one of Paul's voices.
Yes, very raw.
And kind of high. Kind of funky.
I think they just woke him up on the recording.
It hits, that track hits really hard, very funky sounding. But let me just take a piece of another one. And I think it's, was it the guitar on this track? Yeah, this guitar was like, this so signature.
Oh yeah, and this one is a fun one.
Cowbell.
Cowbell? More cowbell, please.
And this is, I think, in more his traditional voice.
Oh, yeah. Such control. They have the claves.
Yeah.
I got to get ready. Close my eyes and I let myself go.
Listen to, baby, let the music flow. So when is the next Bad Company Experience show? You got something on the books?
Yeah, January 12th, we are with a friend of mine, Brody Dolenick, who is in the Zeppelin USA band. We are playing with them at the Van Buren January 12th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That'll
be
cool.
Great. Oh, yeah.
One more real quick one. Everybody in the band sing?
For the most part, yeah.
Isn't it fun singing such iconic tunes, though?
You know, it's stressful.
Okay.
It's rehearsal is great. We love rehearsal, and they're great guys, and they're my brothers, and you know, Eric Turner on guitar, Nick Marshall on bass, Chuck Kidd on drums. But we have such a great time at rehearsal. I mean, we have a lot of fun. But at a show, it changes. It's so stressful. So
is it serious? You have a responsibility to deliver. Is that
what's
happening?
Yeah, you know, there's expectations, and it's almost an out-of-body experience. It's like, I feel like when I would go see a tribute band, I would sometimes sit out there and think, really? And I just, I can't help, you know, I know when I walk out there, I know that there's a me out there. And so it's very stressful. And, you know, and it's Paul Rodgers. You know, we're not exactly...
Right. And he's a singer.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's one of the greatest voices ever. So, you know, and kudos to him. He's just, there's just no one that sounds like him. Maybe his son a bit, but.
Interesting. So now, besides all of this music you got going on, do you have a bunch of new songs you haven't recorded?
Actually, Broken Toys is working on some original stuff right now. Paul Gerwitz just put out an album a few months back. Called Train of Love.
That you're singing on?
I did some harmonica on there, and it's mostly songs. Paul's an incredible songwriter, and so I believe you can find that. Paul is on Facebook and things like that. So, So there's lots of stuff in the works, and, you know, the Bad Company thing, we're always trying to change everything up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as hard as it is, because, you know, people expect, you know, I've always liked some of the deeper tracks. So we like to try to hit the deep tracks at the same time. We, you know, you don't want to lose people. But,
right. Yeah, it's a battle.
You know, the true people want to hear some of the deeper stuff.
Oh, yeah, and they'll always, the real fans will always reprimand you for, why didn't you play this?
Yeah.
And you're like, because everyone would leave, you know, except you three.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, when we mix, we mix live versus studio as you can, because to me, you know, a band like Bad Company, you know, everyone is so used to what they hear on the radio, and they're so used to hearing everything one way. And there's a lot of bands that have a lot of live stuff that's popular.
Right.
So we try to do live stuff, but not get too far away from the record version, you know, so people don't think, what the hell are they doing?
But, now, to completely jump tracks, you were in drama class in high school.
I was.
And you did commercials in high school.
Yeah.
And then you've done some acting since. In fact, very recently, we had the opportunity to work together on a film.
We did.
And which I showed you an edit of today. Yeah. You got to see yourself in the scenes for a film that I'm working on. And you were absolutely incredible.
Well, thank you.
You
got roofied.
Everything I wanted from that guy in that scene.
The crazy drunk guy.
Well, it was funny because once I had the date locked down to shoot this particular scene, he's the one of the characters I hadn't cast or offered to anyone, because I knew it's the only spot in the movie he has, so I don't need to worry about it until I'm ready, you know?
Right.
And so once I got ready, the guy I had planned on, you know, who had originally said I'd love to do it, I reached out to him, and all of a sudden he's busy. So we rescheduled for a weekend he was available, and then when I got everything lined up, oh, I'm not available that weekend now. It's like, that's why we're on this weekend. So I said, screw it, I'm just going to have to find somebody else. And I thought, who could do this? And I really, in the acting community, as I'm familiar, on a local level, I didn't have anybody who I wanted to be that guy. The only other guy I was thinking of, I already used him as in another role. So it's like he couldn't do both. So I thought, who could it be? And for some reason, I was thinking, I had read that you had done something, or I saw some post that you had done something. And so that was my invitation.
I need
have
a
you
crazy
done this?
Psycho guy.
Yeah, have you done this? I need a crazy.
What about Ken?
You're kind of crazy psycho. And I was really happy to know that you had some experience and that you were interested. And I just want to say you did a fantastic job. So what else have you done in that realm? You did some country western stuff recently for Travis Mills, I think I read.
Well, I just recently went and did some stuff as a side, which he's got. I don't think that's going till I believe January 2020, I think, is when he actually starts shooting. He's got great film out right now called Blood Country, but always loved westerns. But, you know, some friends of mine in the band Lane Change were doing some videos, and they're a great band that's in about their fourth year. And so kind of just, we really started doing some videos and whatnot. In fact, we did a full music video, which actually was shot at my house, the whole entire video.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did some other stuff over at a studio in Mesa. And, you know, one thing just kind of led to another, and it was a lot of fun. That was some stuff by the name of Red Black Films. So that was a lot of fun. And
what do you see in your future in terms of a focus? Do you think you're going to get more into film if the opportunity is there, or do you feel like you're doing it at a level that works for you?
You know, it's because
as an entertainer, the live thing in front of an audience is one thing, and you're doing something singing, which is just completely natural. You've done it forever. And then in front of a camera, it's a bit different. The audience isn't there, but it's still a performance. It's a different kind of drawing from someplace. And since you had that drama background, I always wondered how much that played into your stage performance as a musician, and then versus now, as you've done it and done it and done it, does film become more interesting because it's something you haven't done as much?
You know, to me, as we talked earlier, they don't, to me, cross much.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm singing, and I love playing music, and I love singing, and a lot of times people give me a hard time because I always have my eyes closed a lot, and you know, I tend to get lost in the song or in the music, and sometimes I open my eyes and, oh my God, people are looking at me, and then I realize, you know, whoops, and then it's that whoosh, all of a sudden you're like someone woke you from
right
a dream,
back. Yeah,
and so So there's not a lot of acting that takes place in music. As far as the future, you know, I will always play music at whatever level I'm capable of. And, you know, acting, I suppose anyone needs a rough, ugly mug like mine. I'm, you know, it's always a lot of fun. So,
how can people find you or reach out for you? What's the easiest way? Do you have a website that kind of encompasses what you do, or
no,
Facebook?
No,
really
more of a private guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Christy and I, we just, we're out a lot. We support a lot. Christy supports a lot, and she loves live music, and mm-hmm. So we're always just kind of intertwined in that, and obviously I'm on Facebook, and so, you know, there's ways to get a hold of me. They could call Otto and say, "Hey, Otto, that weird dude you had the other night, man,
right.
I want to call him.
That dude in that movie.
That guy.
That was awesome." Well, listen, Ken, we're running up on the hour, man.
Wonderful.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And
I hope we get to cover all this stuff.
You know,
doing.
This sock sliding thing that you keep...
Oh, my goodness. That's right.
Weaseling out of one of these days. We're going to have this... I officially am challenging Otto
the ending
to
music is
soccer
coming
sliding out. Championship.
I think we need to do it at a bowling alley for charity and
yes.
just use lead singers.
Yeah, lead singers
of local
only.
Bands.
And socks, colored socks, no white yeah. socks.
All right, there you have it.
My pleasure, Otto.
We need a venue. Great, man. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Take care.